Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins. Let's turn to a big congressional race that started shaping up this week. Boston City Councilor Ayanna Pressley announced that she's going to be challenging Representative Michael Capuano in the Democratic Party for his House seat. She told us yesterday on the show why she's running.
The issues that we are grappling with right now, although complex and pervasive and persistent and are nagging and growing, they're not new. So if the issues aren't new, the only thing we can change is the approach and the lens to how we take on those issues.
We also spoke with Michael Capuano. Here he is.
I have 800,000 constituents. Each and every one of them has a different lens on life, including my wife. And they're all important, and that's very interesting, but that's not what politicians do. Politicians try to see the world through other people's lenses and try to bring people together so that we can have a mutual view.
Tiziana and John, Tiziana first, are you surprised by this challenge, by this run?
Well, I think there'd been rumors about it for a little while. So, you know, not surprised in that we'd been hearing that this was possible for at least a few days, if not a couple of weeks. I think it can be surprising when you've got a successful incumbent who's quite senior and has a strong progressive record. But this is a time of flux and change, and we are seeing a level of division across class lines, gender lines, race lines, generational lines that doesn't make it surprising that somebody who represents a different perspective on all of those things might step up and say, hey, I'd like to take a swing at this. And that's what I think Ayanna Pressley is doing.
John?
Yeah, I think this is a free run. She's keeping her city council seat, so there's no real downside to this. And it could just be a test drive for a future run. So there's a lot of commenting on the news stories by readers about why isn't she running against Marty Walsh? Well, maybe she will run against Marty Walsh, and maybe this is a way for her to heighten her profile. I think there's virtually no daylight between them from a political standpoint.
So if that's the case, then how are voters to make up their minds? I mean, if they are so closely aligned politically, there are differences, Tiziana, as you said. I mean, what should voters be looking at?
Well, they're going to be looking at personality, and this is what Ayanna Pressley is running on. She's running on her biography. She's running on her perspective. And so she's saying, basically, I come to these issues from a different place. I land the same place as my Capuano, but I get there a different way. And that's what the district needs at this point. The district is 56% minority. So she's saying, basically, I would be more representative of the district, but I would also bring something that is different in terms of perception and approach.
Yeah, I think for the small percentage of voters who may have a mind to make up, meaning I think a lot of people are going to go into this already knowing what they want one way or the other. But I think for the small percentage of voters who may have a mind to make up, the trade-off for them is going to be, do we want the seniority that Mike Capuano brings to the seat? Do we want to keep that? Or do we want to gamble that for somebody who may advance new bills, new kinds of legislation, or new perspectives into the U.S. Congress at a time when we don't have much faith in it? And the interesting choice is going to be see where people come out on that. Now, historically, right, the old political adage is you don't change horses midstream. So whether she can get traction on that, I don't know.
That's a very good question about seniority, though. Sorry, John. I was just wondering, does seniority matter less when the Democrats are in the minority and seemingly so much under the thumb of Republicans right now? Does it matter?
Well, it matters if you're poised to take over the majority. And I think that that's the pitch that Michael Capuano will make, is if we take the House back, you know, I'm in a position that Ayanna Pressley will never be in terms of what clout I have in terms of committees and steering what the House does. So I think it could become an issue, and I think it may be something that he leans on, because the better the prospects for the Democrats, the more that can be a compelling reason to vote for him, to keep him in.
I also think it's really important to add, Lisa, that this is an embarrassment of riches for the district, right? These are two thoughtful, competent, talented, dedicated people. If It's an embarrassment of riches if you believe in a progressive agenda, because they'll both advance a progressive agenda. They're known to be thoughtful, non-corrupt individuals who care about constituencies. So from that perspective, you know, when you have a contested election of good people, at some level, everyone wins.
I want to sorry, John.
Sorry, just real quick. One of the mysteries here is why Ayanna Pressley wouldn't have run for Linda Dorsina-Forey's state senate seat.
She wanted the congressional post.
Well, we're right. I mean, but you know, given how hard it is to dislodge an incumbent, you know, you wonder what the reasoning is behind here, and I don't think that's become clear yet.
In the short time that we have left, I just want to focus on the Wynn Casino in Everett. Last week, the Wall Street Journal broke the story of sexual misconduct allegations against casino mogul Steve Wynn. The story detailed what it called a decades-long pattern of sexual misconduct, including a $7.5 million settlement that the Wynn company has confirmed happened with a manicurist who Steve Wynn was apparently in some way involved with. Now, Wynn has denied the accusations himself, but the group that awarded Wynn a casino license in 2014 met this week to address the allegations. I want to ask you first, Tiziana, why don't we go with you? The commission says that it's going to be looking into this. Wynn has claimed that this is all crazy. This is part of his ex-wife's attempt to tarnish his reputation. Is this something, this accusation, that could and should cost Wynn the casino license? And is this something the commission should have known about when it investigated him in the beginning?
To take the second part first, it's something the commission should have known about when it investigated him in the beginning. And if for no other reason, you dig deeper when somebody made their money in the one city where sex trafficking is actually legal. So
Vegas,
you might, right, you might have some antenna up a little bit deeper. So,
although what they said is that the company was told by their lawyer not to reveal, not to disclose the $7.5 million settlement. What do you do if that's the case?
Well, you know, that's why it's called an investigation, not a please show me what's in your files. So that's kind of my view on that piece of it. Should it keep the casino from coming? Everybody who doesn't want a casino is going to say, yes, absolutely, this is a godsend, because let's get this thing out of here. The likelihood that it will keep it from coming forward seems slim. And this really is actually now a question of governance. It's board governance for the Wynn Company and how that board handles a question of allegations against its CEO.
The board at Wynn Resorts is going to have a real problem, because the Journal talked to 150 women. The Journal went to all those women. None of those women went to the Journal. So if you're one of them, are you going to go and talk to the investigation at Wynn Resorts? I think you're probably not going to. So the big vulnerability I think that Wynn Resorts has is when they put a prospectus forward, you have to do the what they call the main risk disclosure. And their main risk disclosure is, quote, our dependence on Stephen A. Wynn. So, I mean, basically, as he goes, so goes the company.
What does that mean? Does that mean that you think there wouldn't be a casino just without the Wynn name? I mean, if Wynn's name is not on it, is the Wynn company still running it?
That's a good question. I mean, can you have a Wynn Resorts property without the Wynn name on it?
Yeah, the logo is his actual signature, right? This
right.
is one of those cases, and there's another one that's pretty famous, about the mogul's brand being the whole point, right? The president had
that's right.
And that's a case where what we have here, too.
So I wonder what you think about the idea that, let's say if the commission did know about this and it says it didn't, let's take them at their word. If they had, though, known about it a year ago, prior to the Me Too movement, would that, you think, have stopped them from granting the license to Steve Wynn?
If they were doing their job right, suitability, according to the commission, is integrity, honesty, good character, and reputation. You know, Steve Wynn right now is 0 for 4. So I think that if they were doing their job right. But there's something strange that happened, because the investigative group that was supposed to investigate this for the Gaming Commission, Steve Wynn asked them, this is according to the Boston Herald, Steve Wynn asked them to remove them and substitute another Group, another law firm to investigate.
This is sounding kind of familiar, too.
Yes, it is. It's
right. So you know, there's all kinds of fishy things here. And if they're worried about having a white elephant over in Everett, you know, Amazon's looking for a headquarters. So I think they could probably fill up that building pretty well with 50,000 people.
Plus, this is about ethical oversight. You go back to the board again, right? You know, it's not just moral suitability. It's, do you have a company that practices proper oversight on the law and ethics? And no, the answer is just flat out no.
Well, what if they didn't know that they were looking for something for these kinds of misdeeds? I mean, you know, is there a way to figure this out if you don't really know what you're looking for?
So listen, when there are this many claims and they are drawn out by reporters, there's enough smoke that somebody should have been saying, hey, what do I smell?
So why do you think they didn't find it?
Because it's more profitable not to. For the board.
For the board, not you.
Yeah.
So where does this leave us now? Where does this leave everybody the construction's already started. I mean, this project is underway. What's happening now?
Right. They're about halfway through. So, I mean, it's a very difficult position for the Massachusetts Gaming Commission. And I think it would take a lot of backbone for them to yank the casino license from Wynn Resorts. And the question is then, is there somebody else who can come in and take over the casino? Or do you have a situation where it's Wynn or nobody? And that is going to be a much tougher decision for the commission.
John, I can't believe you don't have a win or lose.
I can't do that.
Yeah, but you did, so we're all good. Yeah.
I can't do that. I'm under contract not to do that.
You can do it much better. John Carroll, Tiziana Deering, thank you so much for being with us for this Week in Review. We appreciate it. Sorry about the technical problems earlier, but hopefully they're ironed out. Thanks, both of you. You're listening to Radio Boston.